It's too much of a layup. The governor of South Carolina missing, MIA, for 5-6 days. And, of course, it turns up and turns out, as he turns up, that he had an affair with a woman in Argentina. It was a rambling news conference that we were all treated to earlier in the day. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney here on America Tonight. I promise we won't just be talking about the governor on this show. We also have Warren Buffett's thoughts on the economy and which direction we're headed in. As earlier this week, the White House said we should be up to 10% unemployment and admitted that the stimulus didn't quite work out the way they thought it would as far as unemployment, thinking it would send it in the other direction. Speaking of the White House, I'm just going to say we have the blunder of the day, and it's not related to the governor of South Carolina. It, in fact, is centering around the White House. First, let's go to the governor of South Carolina. You can bet that he was a little bit jumbled up, and of course he was, because I don't think that he was on the same page as his staff. My biggest questions coming from the governor, Governor Sanford, who I really like, Mark Sanford, who I thought had a crack for the Republicans maybe at 2012, was fumbling around at this press conference. And like I said, did he lie to his staff? Did his staff lie? Is the affair over? If he took these trips to Argentina, were they paid for with state funds? We know he had a trip that was sponsored by the Department of Commerce, which, of course, he saw the woman then, and that was paid for with federal money. So you be the judge. Should this guy resign? Here is a little bit of what he had to say when he jumped in front of the bright lights and the microphones.
And so the bottom line is this. I've been unfaithful to my wife. I developed a relationship with a, which started as a dear, dear friend from Argentina. It began very innocently, as I suspect many of these things do, in just a casual email back and forth, in advice on one's life there and advice here. But here, recently, over this last year, it developed into something much more than that. And as a consequence, I hurt her. I hurt you all. I hurt my wife. I hurt my boys. I heard friends like Tom Davis. I heard a lot of different folks.
All right, no doubt. And, of course, the family is what I would be concerned about, and I wouldn't want him as my governor. At this point, he shouldn't be. He should not be in that position. He should step aside from the job because I know there's forgiveness, but I don't think that they can continue to roll forward with him because he can't even get the story straight. Stu is listening to us in Kentucky. You're my leadoff man. Hey, Stu.
Hey, Kate. First of all, on this whole governor deal, you know, and I'm glad you finally said it. You said it yourself. You said this don't usually happen to Republicans, and when it does, it's more, you know, because, how did you put it, Democrats don't have the same value system in a roundabout way.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you said. Good,
yeah.
Sure. Proud of you. Well, I admit Democrats ain't got no values, morals, or principles. But either way, listen, I look at it the same way when Elliott's pitcher got busted. His little prostitution ring, it was a little different.
Right.
But let's say Bill Clinton. I don't care. It's none of our business. It's something his family and him should work out, but amongst them. Yeah, he was wrong. He went off on our money, and I do agree with that. But let him work it out with his family. Why get him on a press conference and beat him to death? And you know that's what they're doing right now on PMSNBC and ABC and everybody else. They're beating this guy to death.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's his family's got to deal with it. I was the same way with John Edwards. His family's got to deal with it. He's got to deal with it with his family. And that's rougher than dealing with the public, really, in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, because
a normal man, anyway. I mean, a man with any kind of, you know, respect for his family and himself.
Right. See, what I said is, you know, we've seen this before, plenty of Democrats, et cetera. I mean, there's lots of scandals we could dig up from the past. You mentioned John Edwards. That's one of them. Elliot Spitzer, of course, is another one. How about the former governor of New Jersey? I mean, there's a ton that we could point to. But the problem is, like I said, the problem is, would you want him as governor for the other things surrounding this? The lying of where he was, and then the car is there, and blah, blah, blah. And
well,
then
tell
the...
me something. Teddy Kennedy's been in Maine how long? How many, or Massachusetts, how many years?
Oh, yeah.
And after Chappaquiddick.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I mean, the guy lied about it. He got drunk. He was, and, you know, and Bobby Kennedy wasn't no angel by a long ways. And John F. Kennedy wasn't an angel by a long ways.
Right.
And we tolerated it, you know. And, of course, you had the rumors about, please forgive me, Ronnie, but Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan and around the White House, Frank Sinatra. I mean, you know, he's a politician. We've
right.
never had an honest politician yet. I mean, I mean, look at it. I mean, really, have we ever really had one yet? I mean, we've got Blago, we've got all these great, these great jokes, you know, you can tell on these politicians. But, and I understand where you come from on a moral standpoint and a principle standpoint. Can we trust in what he says? Can we believe in
right.
what he does?
Right.
And one thing I give the guy 100% credit for is he didn't want to take the stimulus money. He told Washington, D.C. to keep
their
money.
Absolutely.
He didn't want to make a mistake. And you're right. He made a mistake, but I think it comes a time when the media should let the family work it out. Elliot Spitzer's wife, I mean, she was humiliated. His daughter was humiliated when he got up there, and I think he was an idiot for getting up there. You know, I mean, he should have said, this is what happened, bam, bang, we're done with it. I'm going to resign, go on my own private life. You get what I'm saying? And maybe
yeah,
he
absolutely.
Needs to do the same in South Carolina, resign. But I just want to touch on something. You talk about this $1 to $2 trillion for health care.
Right.
I told you last night, my insurance paid for my entire thing. Cost
right.
me $168. My insurance cost me $161 a month. Now, if I went by government-run insurance, I wouldn't have had the great doctors I have, which I have some of the best doctors did me, took care of me. I would have had that. And, you know, in Great Britain, I read 61% federal tax in Great Britain right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because of socialized health care.
Exactly, exactly.
So when they're all whining and griping and complaining and we want the socialized health care, we need it. You know, I was a former smoker. Now, they, cigarettes in Kentucky are $5 a pack.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It's the backdoor tax Obama's sticking in right now. The 80 cents a pack raise, hey, we're going to raise them 80 cents. Now we're going to raise them another 30 cents. And we're going to charge the smokers. And we're going to take this tax and we're going to put it over to health care for children whose parents can't afford it. Well, it's like my ex-wife and I was talking about the other day. She's a smoker. And she said, I can't even get that insurance for our kids because we both have insurance on them. And I'm paying it every week when she buys her, you know, she's just paying every week when she buys her cigarettes. And she's absolutely right. So, no, we don't need socialized health care. And the $1 to $2 trillion is going to come out of our pockets, out of our paychecks, out of our kids' mouths.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I'm going to, thanks for the call. I'm going to let you hear what one senator had to say. And I completely agree with him. That's coming up a little bit later on the show. I'm not for the public option either. Hang with us. Much more to come on America Tonight.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. survivaloven.com. That's survivaloven.com.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop. Thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
We would jump to the blunder of the day on America tonight. And it's not the governor of South Carolina, because that's just too much of a layup, like we were just talking about with our pal Stu in Kentucky. And my issue, and you can sound off on Governor Sanford, of course. I said I was totally all into him and had read a bunch about him, liked a lot of the things I had heard. But wow, he could be interesting for 2012. You could put him on the short list. Now that's all blown up. There's just absolutely no way. And for me, it's not about the trotting out in front of the microphones and saying the deal about the affair or all of that. In fact, I think it's awful for his sons. It's terrible because you have a 10-year-old, that's the youngest, and the other kids. You know what it's like? Think about it. You have kids. What happens at school? This is just going to be a brutal row for those four boys. But to me, summing it all up is what I said earlier. It's the questions that hang in the balance. I mean, did the staff lie? The idea of using taxpayer money, that's a no-no. Using taxpayer money to go to Argentina, and certainly using the federal money. So if you use this, and I don't know if he used the state money, but if he used the state money and then used federal money too, wow. And then just disappearing, it's the Disappearing Act. If he was fooling around, said, okay, the lieutenant governor's in charge, I'm going to be away for a week or whatever, different story. But the fact that not anybody was informed, I understand the heart wants what the heart wants, but if you're running a state, that's not who I want running the state. And I totally liked what he did before. The fact that he said, forget the stimulus money. I love that. I thought it was great. And there were a couple of other things that he did as well as the governor of South Carolina. But he's not resigning. So I think that I wouldn't want him as governor after those other questions are hanging in the balance. Not because of the other stuff, but because of the money used, the abuse there, and not informing the people and all that sort of stuff. You wouldn't want that in Kentucky. You wouldn't want that in Texas. You wouldn't want that in Connecticut. But, oh, yes, Stu said, have we ever had an honest politician? He might be onto something. All right, speaking of politicians, every president has their defense team. That's what I call them, the White House flacks. So the big one, of course, the White House spokesperson is Robert Gibbs. And On Wednesday, apparently, they're vehemently denying that they planted a question about Iran from the Huffington Post, which, of course, is a left-leaning website, at a presidential news conference this week. Let me let you hear the exchange.
I got a procedural question about yesterday's news conference. What led to your decision to plant a designated hitter right here to ask the president a question? And what kind of a message do you think that sends to the American people and to the world about the kind of free flow and pure questioning that's been expected at presidential news conferences?
Well, I think it did nothing more than underscore that free flow. Peter, that was a question from an Iranian in Iran, using the same type of manner and method to get that information as I guess many of you and virtually every one of your outlets has done, because in this country we enjoy the freedom of the press. In Iran, as many of you know, your colleagues have been dismissed. They've been kicked out. Some of them have been rounded up. There aren't journalists that can speak for the Iranian people. What the president did was take a question from an Iranian. That's, I think, the very powerful message that sent just yesterday.
Couldn't he have accomplished that without you guys escorting someone through here and planting them in the room?
Did you get a question yesterday from an Iranian that you had hoped to ask the president?
No, I did not.
Well, then I guess the answer to that would have been no.
Is this going to become a regular feature of President Obama's news conferences, that you all are going to bring people in here that you select to ask questions?
Well, let's understand. Let's be clear, Peter. I think you understand this, but I'll repeat it for your benefit. There was no guarantee that the questioner would be picked. There was no idea of what the exact question would be. I'll let you down easily. A number of questions that we went through in prep, you all asked. Iran dominated the news conference, not surprisingly. But Peter, I think it was important, and the president thought it was important, to take a question using the very same methods, again, that many of you all are using to report information on the ground. I won't make any apologies for that.
Can I follow that one up, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Get the mic ready.
Aren't you, you and the president, aware that this casts suspicion that all of such questions may be presidentially planted?
Well, you know what? Instead, Lester, of giving you an answer from here, I'll ask that you ask Chuck, Jennifer, Chip, Jake.
I'm sorry.
Can I give you 30 seconds to get your question straight? Major and others that asked questions yesterday, ask them right now if they knew they were getting a question yesterday. Go ahead, ask one of them.
Wow, I'm just going to say ridiculous. It was a planted question. I wanted you to hear that whole thing because this is the ridiculous circus that happens at least once or twice a week. And who you were listening to there again was the White House flack, the spokesperson, Robert Gibbs. And he says, look, there's nothing inappropriate about how an administration official phoned the Huffington Post, Nico Pitney was the guy, and suggested Obama might take a question from him if he came prepared with one submitted to the reporter from someone inside Iran. Yeah, that's a planted question, and I think that the reporter questioning it was absolutely right. So why you can't blame the other administration, the Bush administration and anybody else before them, for having set up questions if you're doing the very same thing. I mean, it's a planted question. So they invited a writer who asked Iranians about what they would ask the White House. That's exactly what happened. So Pitney had been blogging from the U.S. about the protests in Iran, and the question Pitney asked the president is if he would recognize Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's reelection, or if such a move would be a betrayal of protesters. And, of course, we got the same familiar response we've been hearing, and that is it's just too soon to know. So it was a nothing. I mean, there was nothing answered to that. So I'm going to say that is the blunder of the day. Do we have any boos from our live studio audience? Yeah, that's ridiculous. It was a plant, period. If you're a shill, you're a shill. It's like when you go to those auctions. You've ever been to an auction? Do you know that a lot of times you go to these auctions, they're shills. They bid the price up. So that, you know, somebody was doing their bidding. Good for Huffington Post because they get their question in. And that's what happens. But this, it's not a surprise to me. But the fact that supposedly this transparency is just a bunch of BS. Seriously. So trying to duck the question is what they were trying to do there. It was a planted question. And it was obvious, right? And, of course, what was the response? It was the same response that you get, so it was pretty clear it was staged. And, once again, Robert Gibbs, looks stupid every single time he tries to deny the nonsense, the crap that's going on. I mean, it is what it is. He should have just said, absolutely, we planted someone in there, we wanted to answer that question. Huffington Post gave us the opportunity. They called. We said, sure, let's do it. Why not? Because that's how you're getting your information. Just say it instead of trying to twist things around the way we continually get that information out of the White House. It's absolutely, I think, infuriating. All right, so that was the blunder of the day. Now, the Daily Salute, the U.S. soccer team, how about this? They knocked off Spain 2-0. Yeah, in international competition, one of the biggest, baddest international stages you could possibly be on. Now, for the first time since 1916, they're in the finals. What a shocker, upsetting number one Spain, Americans. Nobody expected them to be there. Yeah, first ever FIFA men's final for the men. Go USA!
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worry how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from?
You know that the economy is getting worse, but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
When worrying about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
That they see signs of some real hope for the economy. Boy, we really do want hope. And I don't want to peddle negativity, but I want to peddle realism, I think, if anything, on America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. So the Federal Reserve says is keeping its key interest rate near zero. That's what was released on Wednesday. And basically, it's a statement, I guess you would say, that the U.S. economy is weak, but they believe there are signs of a recovery because the central bank is saying that the pace of the nation's economic decline is actually slowing and that household spending is showing signs of stabilizing. So that's the reason why the rate is staying the same because they want to continue to see some of this bounce back. But, man, it sure does not feel that way to me. And just in my own pockets and talking to people I know, not even dealing with all of you on America Tonight, think of this yourself in Iowa and in Illinois and in Connecticut and in New York. I think, if anything, certainly the Fed has done much more than just cut short-term rates to jump up the economy, pump it up, bloat it up, whatever, pump money into the economy, right? But it still feels like to me that we are laying in the weeds. Absolutely. And the money that's just being printed and not knowing the backing and how much are we printing is so bloody scary to me beyond beyond what I can really express here on America Tonight, even with some of the conversations I've had with people. But, hey, look, I think another shoe is going to drop in housing because of, there have been a wave of people who have lost jobs and can't pay their mortgages, and then there's going to be more of those bogus loans that will come through that just haven't hit yet. So the real bounce back happens after next year. If it happens sooner, man, I'd be the first one dancing a jig because I'd like to see certainly people happy and healthy and on a more even keel and not scared to death for losing their livelihood and trying to figure out ways to support their family. I'll tell you, here's a sign about the economy. Even the rich people aren't spending what they used to spend. Warren Buffett, of course, the man who everybody wants to talk to, Warren Buffett is considered a financial guru, right? The billionaire. Berkshire Hathaway, he's the chairman and chief executive officer, of course. He does this deal, and he's done it for, I guess, now a decade, where you can bid on having lunch with him, and it goes to a charity that helps homeless people in San Francisco. Now, last year, somebody came up with a bid of $2.1 million in a charity auction to dine with the Oracle of Omaha, as he's affectionately known. Right now, that auction is going on for this upcoming year, and it's like an eBay auction for this to be able to have lunch with Warren Buffett. I think you can take seven people with you, and so far it's up to just, you know, like $200,000 somewhere in that neighborhood. Wow, and of course it could get bid up at the end, but I think it shows you where you know, where even people who have money are as far as putting it out there. And we see that with other charities. And hey, they, like I said, people that have money would love to be able to have a conversation with Warren Buffett, but you can see even that's a little bit down. So the Oracle was on CNBC, and I happened to catch it, and he said some interesting things because, of course, people want to hear what he has to say about the economy because he's had such great success over the lifetime of his company and as far as investing is concerned and all that sort of stuff. So he talked about a couple of different things. One, the economy and where it's at. He doesn't agree that things are looking good. And also on what Obama and Washington itself, the guys on the Hill, are doing as far as jobs. Where are we as far as that's concerned? And here's a little slice of what he had to say.
It's been pretty flat. I get figures on 70-odd businesses, a lot of them daily. I mean, everything I see about the economy is that we have had no bounce. The financial system was really where the crisis was, you know, last September and October, and that's been surmounted, and that's enormously important. But in terms of the economy coming back, it takes a while. There were a lot of excesses to be wrung out, and that process is still underway, and it looks to me like it'll be underway for quite a while. In the annual report, I said that the economy would be in the shambles this year and probably well beyond, and I'm afraid that's true. I wasn't seeing anything, and I had a cataract operation on my left eye about a month ago. I thought maybe now I'll be able to see some green shoots. No, we're not seeing them. Whether it's retailing, manufacturing, wherever, even in, we have a big operation, electric utility operation. Industrial demand is down like we've never seen it for a simple thing like electricity. So it hasn't happened yet. It will happen. I want to emphasize that. But it hasn't happened yet.
All right. So Warren Buffett, of course, they are talking about the economy. And you heard he was pretty, in what he said, he was pretty honest that no, these things aren't happening. And he doesn't feel like it's turning around because that's the stuff that's being pumped out. And I agree with his reasons, and we've seen that when you see a number like almost 10%, it's pretty scary. And the fact that we've lost jobs, obviously, in the auto industry, we continue to lose jobs overseas because no matter what was promised during the campaign, that hasn't happened as far as taxing a lot of the businesses who are sending things to India or other places because the call centers, etc., are cheaper because you pay less money. And that's hurting American jobs. Manufacturing is down. With the economy the way it is, a lot of jobs have had to slice off a big chunk of their workforce. I mean, all kinds of places. I mean, almost any place that you can think of. I mean, what is thriving in this economy? And that's why we see it at the point where it is right now. So I think when you listen to the Oracle, he's a wise man, and I think he's dead on. So the Fed sees these signs of hope, but, you know, let's hope we can somehow steady the ship. I don't think you're going to see some kind of a massive turnaround. And, of course, like I mentioned before, all the things that are being tackled at one time, including health care. Now, you know that we've had Stu call in, and he told us the other night about his personal experience about getting the stents put in and how, what would he do? He had great doctors, et cetera, and he didn't have to pay very much out of pocket, so thank God he had that insurance. The option that keeps flying around that's being discussed is to have, because we have 50 million people without insurance, to have insurance offered both through a public option and privately, which I think could lend itself to being a ridiculous disaster for a number of reasons. We talk about what happens in other countries like Canada, etc., and what kind of care are the people getting. So then that's your second thing. Okay, so if you're one of the people who can't afford health care, geez, you really want it, but then you get it and it's nothing, it's not good coverage, then it doesn't do you any bit, it doesn't do you any bit of good, right? And I said this before, there is a thing called catastrophic insurance. If you can't afford insurance or you're young and healthy and feel like you're invincible, you get catastrophic insurance. It doesn't cost you quite as much. And God forbid something happens. You get in a car accident and you break a leg. It doesn't cost you $25,000 to have your leg set and to put a cast on it. You know, because even going in the emergency room, it's ridiculous the prices that you pay. A lot of those prices in some areas are high because of the burden on the healthcare system that even in some of these border states that they were facing because of the treatment of people who didn't have insurance and were in the country illegally. You know, there was even, I know I've told the story probably too many times on the show, but Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, had so many millions that they lost in treating people for nothing, people that were in the country illegally that they treated, they didn't want to turn them out, that it was hurting them so badly that they sent a bill to Mexico for the millions that they were losing in treating people. And Mexico basically told them, ha ha, very funny, you know, they weren't going to pay anything, obviously, for the people who had come across. So yes, it's at a crisis point. When you're 36th or 37th on an all-time list of countries for the worst health care, and you're the most powerful nation on the planet, which we are, right? You're the superpower. How can that be? But this massive overhaul of trying to co-mingle the private and the public, I think is more than a disaster waiting to happen. I understand about this the push to change the system, to try to find that affordability for people who find themselves down on their luck, certainly. I mean, hey, has anybody paid the Cobra? I've had to pay that like three times, and it was crazy, crazy high. But, you know, I was too afraid not to, and so I paid the Cobra when I was in between jobs where I had left a job and was going to another, so there was like a weird couple of weeks or whatever it was, and you weren't actually covered on the back end. So Obama says he's open to the health tax. In fact, he held one of those town hall meeting things exclusively on ABC. Imagine that. But we're going to dive into that next on America Tonight, so hang with us.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
No attorneys to plead my case. No OAS to send me in the outer space. At my fingers, I'll be jeweled with diamonds and gold. But that ain't gonna help me now. I'm in trouble, in trouble now. I'm in trouble now. I deserve my life now. I'm in trouble.
All right, quickly, just some highlights of this, or lowlights, if you will. The president leaves the door open to this new tax on health care benefits. That's what he was talking about on Wednesday. And they're talking about $150 billion in concessions from hospitals around the country as they're looking for support for this legislation that's struggling to actually happen in Congress, right? So there was a town hall meeting on ABC. It was a primetime deal. And the idea is it's going to build public support for the plan to slow down health care costs and expand coverage so that the 50 million that are uninsured can also be insured, right? But the main thrust of the proposal, and this is part of the problem, I think, and I don't like it, is the commingling, like I said before, of the private and the public option, because I don't think the public option actually will help. And then what happens with that competition, right? So ultimately, you're talking about $1 trillion you got to come up with, and it comes back to the same thing no matter what. Who is paying for this? Who is paying for the money that's out there? I mean, right now, hospitals are asked to accept a reduction of about $155 billion over the next decade in fees that they're promised under Medicare and Medicaid. So now you got a lot of people that are going to be worried who are hitting those older years they're scared to death. I mean, trying to make the leap from assisted living to nursing homes and how that works out, it could be an incredible nightmare. And I don't blame people who have finally reached that point in their life that are sitting here saying, oh, now this is going to happen? Are you kidding me? So it's my turn and I'm in this situation? There's a lot of things that are being sidestepped. In fact, one of the things that I noticed that Obama didn't address, he was asked if he was open to taxing health care benefits, okay? Because that was one of the things he opposed when he was running, when he was campaigning to become the president. And he definitely sidestepped it. All he basically said is, I think we should find ways to finance this and Congress should adopt them. And here was the answer. I'm going to wait and see what ideas ultimately they come up with. That was the answer there. So Senator Robert Bennett, one of many in Utah, reacting to this public option / private option for this health care proposal. Pretty meaty stuff, and I like what he had to say. I want you to hear it.
Yes, I have picked up the same signal, not only there, but from conversations with some friends that I do still have in the White House. The thing that has jolted the Democrats in general, and the president in particular, is the huge price tag. And they recognize that if they cannot turn the cost of health care, turn the curve of the cost of health care downward, even if they can get over the cost of this program, the long-term implications for Medicare and Medicaid are still huge for the economy. So money is now the driving factor in all of the decisions that they have to make. Yeah, Wyden Bennett would cover everybody, I think, after the transition period of the first 2 years. We have an individual mandate, and we think that's the way to go, and everyone in the country would have access to health coverage. Somebody has to lay out money for health care. Doesn't matter what plan you talk about, somebody has to lay out money. And we changed the tax laws so that the employers could give you the money they are currently spending on your behalf for health care so that you can spend it on your behalf for health care, only would not be taxable to you. So it would stay the same as far as the tax laws are concerned to the employer, but it gives you control of the money instead of the employer, which means you can then go into the marketplace with clout that you currently don't have.
All right, so the idea is, and what the senator is talking about, you could hear it clearly what he's saying, is you would have the option of taking the money basically and putting it where you want to put it, but you wouldn't be taxed for it. Now, of course, one of the things that is going to happen is small businesses, then they're not going to like what the taxation might be on them, and also the affordability, because how much are they covering of it? So this is a long way from being over this tug of war. And every single person listening to me, you know what I'm talking about, because I guarantee nobody, I don't think anybody would call this show. In fact, Stu is the first person ever from Kentucky who's ever called any show that I've been on who said, oh, thank God for my health care coverage. Oh, my gosh, they covered everything. It was great. I only had to pay, less than $200. Usually, even when somebody thinks they have good coverage, what happens is they get nitpicked to death. They don't really understand their plan because they had to read over 25,000 pieces of material and they had no time to do it and they didn't do it. They were told, here's your, three options. Remember these days? Here's your PPO and your MOO and your HMO and you're too late to figure it out. It's too confusing for a lot of people. Some companies are good about it. They bring in people from the healthcare companies to talk about the options, and that's great because then you get a better sense of what does it mean out of pocket, what's covered, all that sort of stuff. And that's what people want to know. What's it going to cost me? What's covered? Eyes, dental, everything else? What aren't you covering? What about pre-existing conditions? And that's what kills so many people, because you don't have jobs anymore where you're there for 30 years or you're there for your whole career. So as you start to get older, or maybe not even older, maybe you have some kind of a condition And then you, it's on your chart. It's noted. It's done. It's boom. It's your pre-existing condition. It's one of the 10,000 boxes you have to go through and decide whether you're checking it when you're filling out your paperwork as a first-time patient. So it is very, very frustrating, certainly to say the least. All right, I want everybody to hear this because this is a chilling phone call, the 911 call. Boy, nobody wants to have to hear this, make this, etc. But there's a reason why I wanted you to hear this 911 call.
And they shot your husband and your daughter. Are they 911? Where is your emergency?
No, somebody just came in and shot my daughter and my husband.
They shot them?
Yes,
what's your
Arizona.
And what's your and they shot your husband and your daughter? Are they out conscious?
Please, mom, please. She's bleeding out of her mouth. Please.
How old is your daughter?
She's 10.
10? And where were they shot?
In the head. Should I pick her up so she's not bleeding?
No, I want you to leave her where she is, okay? What I'm going to do, are they still there, the people who are there that shot them?
They're coming back in. They're coming back in.
Do you know who they are? Are you still there? Are you okay?
Ma'am, I don't know. I'm scared.
How many people were there?
I don't know, ma'am. I was asleep, and I can't even move. I've been shot myself.
Where were you shot?
I think I'm shot in the leg. I'm not sure, ma'am.
Okay.
Please hurry.
Are you armed?
Yeah.
Okay,
ma'am.
They're coming. Lights and sirens. Okay, they are coming.
Ma'am, please hurry.
And did you see
all
any
right,
of them?
So
no, I
you
didn't.
Can tell by listening to that conversation. I mean, how awful is that? Talking about a home invasion. You could hear the shots clearly on the tape. Man, how often do you say, I can't imagine what would I do in that situation? This is why, again, I'm for the right to bear arms, for the right to protect yourself. Sad situation there, obviously. She was talking about her daughter and her husband as well and saying then she had been shot. And then, of course, you have to go through all the descriptions. Awful, awful stuff. Just remember, despite some of the things we talk about in this show, we still live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Reach out and continue to try to grab that brass ring.
7.62 millimeter. Full metal jacket.